Welcome to On the Edge with April Mahoney Brains. Here, this is the spot where the conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. Welcome home, brains. There's only one requirement to hang out on the edge, is that you open your big brain and close your small mind. Did you bring your thinking caps? It's time to put them on, because the conversation starts now.
April, how are you?
Dan Hoover, I'm at the top of my game, precious. How are you?
I'm good. I'm happy for you. Yeah. You look marvelous today.
That's what he said.
Oh, man, it's a pleasure to see you.
I'm in a good space. I'm in a real good space. You know, I lost my mom a couple months ago.
I did not know that. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'm sorry too, but it was such a rite of passage, and it just, I don't know, if for some reason, instead of bringing me down, it raised me up.
Well, I've experienced that. That happens.
Exactly. Yeah. So we are going to have a very spirited conversation here on the Edge Brains with Dan Hoover.
Ah, very good.
Down there in Utah.
That's right. I'm in Utah. I'm not at home today. I'm in Park City.
Park City. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, Dan, I'm going to come to you hard and heavy, so get ready, okay?
Okay.
I got some stuff for you because you live a pretty charmed life.
I do. I live what I call the vacation life. But yes, I'm a very blessed man.
You know, but again, you set it up to knock it down. And everybody's not going to have the quantum results that, you know, that you say. And I want to really kind of work with those people because, again, you and pretty Miss Peggy, you know, your wife of a decade, you've been doing the most. You're yachting and you're golfing and you're, you know, I'm watching you. Oh, yes. I watch my brains. I do, because I want to, you know, I'm doing it too. I'm living a good lifestyle, but everybody's not set up that way. And that's we don't want to give false expectations, but for those that are trying to pivot and for those that are really trying to find their way and navigate and take care of a household, you know, you know, I want you to plant the seed into them, you know, and get.
Yeah, because it wasn't always this way for me.
So let's start at the beginning, my friend. Tell me all about you. I'm excited. I've been waiting for you.
Well, I'll tell you a little bit about myself. I'm 65 years old. And about 15 years ago, I was 50 in the corporate world. And I had a regular, a relatively traditional corporate career. I worked in information technology, and I started when I was 20.
I worked in IT, too. I know.
You know. So I worked, you know, back then, I don't know, did you ever see that movie, The Graduate? And the older gentleman says to Dustin Hoffman, plastics. That's what you need to get into, plastics. Remember that line?
Yep. Well,
I was told to get into IT when I was 20 years old. And at that time, it was called computer programming.
Right, absolutely.
So I grew up in that world, and, you know, it served me well in my 20s. I worked hard. I was able to advance quickly. And then in my 30s, it started to slow down a little bit. So I went back to school and got an MBA. Mm. Right thing to do, right? You know, keep up with it. So I did that. Things were better for a while. Then I hit my 40s, and things started to slow down as far as my career went.
Mm.
I felt like I was on a treadmill.
Well, let me ask a question. Was it slowing down because, you know, technology was moving so fast and you weren't keeping up with it, or just that the market was flooded with all of these different, you know, what do they call it?
Yeah, it was a combination of things. Some of it was the IT world was becoming commoditized.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, my special skills weren't so special anymore because everybody had them.
Mm.
Part of it was that my model for success, my formula for success in my 20s was hustle.
Right.
Work hard.
Mm-hmm.
Work long hours. And I discovered in my 40s that had limits. Number one, there are only so many hours in a week. And number two, I only had so much energy to get myself hustled into the next level. You know, just as an example, if I wanted to pay for my kids' college, I just worked harder, longer, mm-hmm. took on more responsibility. Mm-hmm. But that hustle game, it's exhausting.
Well, If I don't know if you are a hustler, because I was going to ask you about that. Now, see, now, okay, people can look at that word hustling in two different ways, and I'm a hustler, and I be hustling. Okay, so if you add that ing, it's to move with thrust and skilled and zest, and you know, fine. Yep. But if you're
I was hustling.
But if you're being hustled, people think that that's a negative connotation, and you're being tricked up.
Yeah, no, I was being hustled. I was hustling, and the truth is, my message is, I was also being a little bit hustled.
Of course.
Because the promise that myself and many people like myself was given, that if you put your head down, work hard, follow the rules, everything will work out for you. And I did that, and it worked for me pretty well in my 20s and 30s. But the higher I got in the organization, the more it was a political game. The more that, you know, there was always someone who could out hustle you.
Out hustle.
You know, so it was a wake up call for me when I realized that I wasn't getting where I wanted to be. I wasn't achieving the goals I really wanted, no matter how hard I worked.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then I stopped and looked around, probably for the first time, picked my head up, a little bit of exaggeration, but I looked around, I saw people that were advancing much faster than I was. Mm. And with greater ease.
Mm, mm.
They were happier. They had more success. They had more free time. They had more money. Mm. I'm thinking, wait a minute. I'm doing all the right things that I was taught, yet these people are passing me by. Why is that?
Mm.
And I didn't feel anger towards them. I kind of had some admiration for them.
Mm-hmm.
But I started to reflect, is this hustling, efforting, hard work game that I was on, was it working for me?
Mm.
And, you know, I started to reach out to other people. I hired a business coach. It was very helpful. Started to read more books about success. I started to follow some people in personal development. And I learned that I was really following what I call false formulas for success.
Mm.
You know, nobody meant us any harm, but when we're young, our parents, our teachers, our friends, they tell us things. But we, you know, I guess I'd call myself a conformist. I kind of went along with it.
Mm.
And for one of the things I was taught is that life is sequential. And we learned that in grade school, right? You go to first grade before you go to second, third, fourth, fifth.
Absolutely.
Then high school. Then you graduate from college. Then you get an entry-level job. And then you do level one, level two, level three. Very sequential. You just follow those rules.
Given the opportunity.
Yeah.
If you get an opportunity. So just imagine that, you know, how African-Americans or of any minorities or women.
Exactly.
Are submerged.
Exactly. You know that better than I do. I mean, you know, so I totally.
No, I don't, because I've been hustling my whole life. And I'll tell you something about me. I don't have a college degree, and I've made six figures. I have had tons of great jobs, but that's the hustler in me. That is the person that's wanting to churn and that's wanting to know and to do the deep dive. But I, much like you, got to a point where I had to pump my brakes. And I was like, really? And then they walk in with a pink slip and they say they're giving you a golden handshake when they're really giving you the middle finger.
I've seen that finger. Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about.
And then you're saying, you know what, but I've poured my life into this company. And, you know, I knew I was going to be here for 20 years and yada, yada. And I've done everything that you said that I'm supposed to do. I've been that mechanical animal. So what was your wake-up call? What rang your bell? Let me tell you real quick what rang my bell.
Yeah, I want to hear what rang your bell.
I was working at a big company. I love that company. Oh, I tell you, and the perks were fantastic. CEO calls us in. You know, I'm in sales and marketing. He calls us in. He says, if you guys can make me $1 million today, he says, I'll, you know, give you 3 days off and give you a couple $100. You know, can you flood the channel? Because we were selling, you know, technology. Can you flood the channel? Oh, boy, did we do it. We made $1 million in that day.
Wow.
And I got home and I told Mr. Magnificent, I said, I was a beast today. I said, I killed it. I did this. I did that. I said, I got a couple days off. Here's a couple hundred bucks. And do you know that when we went back into work that Wednesday, you know what he called us in and said? Today's maximum is tomorrow's minimum. What are you going to do for me now? Yes, he did. Yes, he did. I wiped my brows. I put me on some lipstick. I went to my desk. I got my purse. I called Mr. Magnificent. And I told him I'm out. I'm out. But that taught me the value of money. That taught me the value of hustling. That taught me my self-respect.
Absolutely.
I was out.
Absolutely. Self-respect.
Light bulb. Yeah, what was your light bulb moment?
That was a great story. Well, mine was a little different. I've been married to Peggy for 10 years, but we were dating 15 years ago, just getting to know each other. Mm-hmm. We were having breakfast in a restaurant, and she said, "Tell me about your work." And it just rolled off my tongue, and I didn't even think about it. But I said, "Well, you know, I have a good job. I earn good money. But for every 100 hours I work, I only really enjoy 2 or 3. Mm. And I looked at Peggy, and her eyes got big, and her chin dropped down. And I reflected on what I said, and I couldn't believe I said it. And she said, "Tell me about that." And I was almost shocked. But I was a middle management corporate job in an IT consulting firm, in charge of sales teams all across the Midwest, 1,200 people. Most of my day was administrivia and problems with people who were doing dumb things. And the 2 or 3, she said, "Well, what are the 2 or 3 hours you really like?" And I said, "Coaching people, helping people advance their career, helping them get what they want in their life, moving forward." And she said, "That's what you ought to do." 6 months later, it took me 6 months to ponder it. You did it in an hour. I was slower than you.
Because I had a backer. I had made the money. I had got the bonus, all of that. I was set up for a minute so I could go ahead and get out. But it was funny because I saw your eyes bug when I said IT and stuff the channel. You know exactly what I'm talking about.
I do.
You
know I do.
Exactly what I'm talking about.
I know that game really well. But it took me 6 months of pondering, talking to coaches, reading books, trying to figure out what I wanted to do. And finally, after that 6 months, I quit. And I had accumulated a backdrop. You know, I had some money in the bank that I could survive. And I said, I'm gonna learn how to really overcome these false formulas for success. And I'm going to help other people so they don't wait till they're 50 to get into the position I was in. Hmm. So my target audience.
50 was great for you. It was great.
It was a breakthrough year for me.
I mean, you know, because some people, I got an uncle, bless his heart, 83 and still working.
Oh.
Because he has to.
Yeah.
Because he didn't put together the recipe for success.
Right.
He didn't do the work. You know, he had owned 40 pieces of property. And then that ego got in the way and the ex-wife. Now he's scratching shit with the chickens, 83 years old, and still has to work. What is quantum results? What is that? How does it work?
So the way it really works is I help people see what's holding them back from success. And typically, it goes back to these false formulas for success. We all have a conscious mind and a subconscious mind. And what was a breakthrough for me was studying the subconscious mind, where your habitual thoughts and beliefs reside. Mm. They run the show for us. Mm. Do you know that 90% of what we do every day is habitual?
Yeah, we're mechanical animals.
Absolutely. And that's a good thing if you've got the right beliefs, the right formulas baked into your subconscious habitual way of thinking. Mm. But if you don't, fear overcomes you. You think you're not good enough. Or you follow some formula that says, just work hard, put your head down, and everything will work out. And then you wake up when you're 65 or 70 and say, "Hey, it didn't quite work out the way I wanted to."
Right.
So quantum results is all about, and what I help my clients do, is discover, number one, what is it they really want in life? Because most people don't even take the time to figure out what they want.
Don't have a clue.
So they're going, what they think they want is what they were told by their mom or their dad and their well-intended parents or their friends. They're all well-intended, but often we get into positions, and I can tell you stories of some of my clients that got into positions because they were told that's what they wanted and it wasn't what they really wanted.
It's
so they end up working instead of living. You know?
So then, and that equals just existing.
Existing, right. So today I work very hard, but I enjoy it so much I don't feel like it's work.
Right.
I don't know when I stop working and start playing because it's all kind of melted together. Okay. But I help people discover, because you know why it's hard to discover for yourself? Because your limiting belief, you believe in it. Mm. We don't question these things. Mm. We need someone from the outside to come in and say, do you really believe that hard work is the only way to get forward? Mm. Do you really believe that you're not good enough? Do you really believe that you don't have enough college degrees to get the job you want? Because there are other people doing it without those things. That proves that your belief is false.
That's right.
So I help them discover, one, what they want, two, what are their beliefs. I help people become masters of examining and replacing beliefs that hold them back.
Mm.
And then I want them to be able to do that for the rest of their life, so that when they decide what they want, then when they start getting some resistance in the world to actually moving towards that, when they take action, mm-hmm. they say, well, wait a minute, what is it that's holding me back? It's a limiting belief. I give them process and tools to replace those limiting beliefs with ones that empower them.
All right, let me pump my brakes here.
Pump my brakes.
Limiting beliefs are also boundaries.
Yes, they are.
They are boundaries. And I love some boundaries, okay? I say fences make great neighbors.
Yeah.
I don't want them in my space, okay? So, and challenges are a part of the journey. They are part of the learning process.
Absolutely.
Okay? And
it's all part of growth.
Exactly. And disappointment and failure. My mother used to tell me all the time, she'd say, Cupcake, just think, if you got everything that you ever desired and wanted, you'd be a hot mess. And I would.
You would. That's right.
Okay, so how do we edit and filter? You know, because, okay, you're on one trajectory. Okay, you want, you're driving, you're making the money, you're doing this, but you don't have time for family. You don't have time for your relationships. Your health is failing. All of that. You can never play golf. You can never go yachting. You know, you can't hang out with Dan. Can't play poker with the boys.
Well, a lot of when you say that, that's a suggestion. You're actually telling your subconscious mind you can't do those things.
Mm. Okay.
Your subconscious mind is designed to protect you.
Right.
So if you say, I'm fearful of taking action to move towards my dream, it'll bring you reasons to be fearful. Mm. If you say, I can't play golf, I'm too old, your subconscious mind brings that to you, helps you believe it. So yes, boundaries are really good, but it's up to you and your conscious mind to make the decision which ones are good for me and which ones are holding me back.
Mm. Okay, I get you.
You know what most people in the end, when I talk to them, is they have this deep feeling that they're not good enough. I'm not good enough to get what I want. Now you, young lady, take action. You've moved forward and progressed. Not everyone does that. Some people sit back and say, oh, I could never do that. Or I'm afraid.
I'm a risk taker.
You are a risk taker, and I'm proud of you for that.
When I go to Vegas, I don't play shots. I don't play the slots. I roll the dice.
Atta girl. So when you're a risk taker and you take action, these lessons come to you, right? Because you're going to make mistakes.
Yeah, but like I said, I've been bit in the butt too. But the things that have hurt me the most have truly been my best teachers.
Absolutely. But if you never take action and get those bites in the butt, you never learn the lesson.
You're right.
We're here to grow, to learn and to grow. And it's those trials, those tribulations that feel like failures to us. Often, when you think about it, I'm going to ask you a question. When you've been bit in the butt and you felt down, like taken down,
mm-hmm.
and you pulled through and you recovered, no matter how long it took, was there ever the day that came and said that you said to yourself, that was the best thing that ever happened?
Absolutely. Because the things that hurt you the most are your best teachers.
Absolutely. When I get a crushing blow, like a loss in an investment or,
oh, I know.
I don't know, some other negative thing, I actually say something good is coming. Now, it took me a long time to get to that point.
Right.
I now realize that that's a lesson, and I ponder, what is it I am to learn? And when I learn it, quantum breakthrough. Breakthrough to a new level.
Now, let me ask you a question.
Yep.
These young folks and these millennials, okay, because again, you can have as many degrees as a thermometer and still not know what temperature it is. You can still be off, okay? I encourage a great education, but you can buy a degree now, so I'm not really all impressed with all of that. Their mindset, what they want, what they desire, they want tiny homes. You know, we want acreage. You know, we want a big house, yard, 2-3
Absolutely.
Car garage. They don't want that. They don't want that at all. So now how do you work with a millennial? How do you work with a millennial to set them up for success now?
Well, it starts with where I started before, is you have to get them to articulate and really reflect on what is it they really want. If they want freedom, if they want a tiny house, if they don't want to be burdened with property and things, there's nothing wrong with that. That's okay. But once they know what they want, then they need to clearly identify themselves. What's the best path to get there? I've talked to many millennials that have gone to college and even advanced master's degrees because they're afraid of doing something that's unfamiliar with them. Once I'm out of school, then what? Because I really don't want to become the doctor that my parents put me on the path to become, or the lawyer, or you know what I mean?
Right.
So a lot of them have never stopped to say, what is it I really want? Now, I'm generalizing. I do talk to millennials that really have their act together. Mm-hmm. And they know what they want, and they stand up for themselves, and I'm really proud of them, and I've learned lessons from them. Believe me, I have. But what you're asking is, how do we help them navigate through this? It's the same thing. Discover what you really want, and then you have to take the brave step, because when people articulate what they really want, they're often afraid to even say it because they're a fear of judgment. Their family might say, well, you can never do that.
I know.
You won't survive on that.
Right.
What Dad is really saying is, I want you off my payroll.
Well, that's like my daughter. My daughter is a creative like no other. She can transform herself with makeup. It's amazing. I don't even know who she is sometimes. And my husband taught her how to sew. So she's a costume designer.
Awesome.
And I was like, well, you know, how is that going to feed you? She says, when you see me get that Academy Award and when you see me get that Tony Award, I want to hear what you have to say then.
Good for you.
And I stepped back, and now she's a major influencer. A couple cosmetics companies have come after her, but I allowed her to be who she was and supported her in that space because I realized that I've already walked my walk. Her walk is not my walk. It's not my journey. And if I support her and encourage her, that's fine. However, I'm tough on her because I teach her financial literacy. I teach her responsibility. You know, I want her to be a good partner. You know, I want her to keep her house clean. I want her to know how to cook. You know, all those basic things that it just seems have fallen by the wayside. Because I see some of these, you know, you can't get some of these kids to take a shower or take the trash out without telling them what to do. So it's hard as a parent.
Yeah.
Not to, you know, to overstep, you know, and we have to walk the fine line as well. And how do people identify what they want, Dan, but they don't have any life experience. They don't have anything to draw on. They don't have, you know, anything to edit and filter. They haven't experienced the pain and the trauma and got the middle finger like we have.
Yeah,
so how can they identify with what they really want?
Well, the answer you gave, they're on their own journey. They will identify what they want, and I encourage them to take action towards it sooner rather than later. Because there's a saying that I learned in the IT, in the entrepreneurial world, fail fast. In other words, they could plan their lives exactly what they want all out without taking any action, go to school, get a doctorate degree, and then discover they don't really like their days in that new position. So I say, even if they may not know what they really want, but they have an idea what they want today, and they can take action and lessons will come to them. They will learn, they will course correct. And the faster they take action, the faster they get in that game, the faster they'll learn that lesson.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay.
What you taught, you're teaching your daughter how to be a good human, you know, how to exist in the world. And if you can also teach her that if you fail, it doesn't mean the end. It means you learn a lesson and you pick up and go forward. Then you're doing a great job. It's the young kids who are afraid to take any action for fear of failure, either because their parents are putting that on them or someone else. I mean, I have a client that, believe this, it took me a month to get her to talk to me on the phone. She only wanted to communicate through text.
Ah, so annoying.
Yes, annoying, but it is their model. And in the end, when I did talk to her, we worked it out. But what she was afraid of is I was going to ask her a question that she couldn't answer live in the moment.
Mm.
But if I ask her a question on text, she could take her time, feel like she had the right answer. She could even Google the right answer.
Wow. Okay. All right.
Right? So, you know, I encourage us older folks, I'm older than you, but to have a little bit of an empathy for these younger folks.
I'd say that too. I do too.
Have empathy for them. We're the ones who set them up for the way they are.
Absolutely.
and try and meet them halfway.
Mm-hmm.
And if we can do that, they're more, I believe in almost all cases, they're more than willing to come halfway to meet you.
Yeah. Oh, they want to learn.
Yeah.
What they need to do is they have to learn in that modality to where they're comfortable. And this is what it is now. It is the world of texting. There's some things I'm not going to tolerate. You know, we go out to lunch, the phone goes away.
You know,
there's still an art to communication.
There definitely is.
You know, I'm still a person that likes a handwritten note. I like to honor people where they are. I don't want to, if I have a disagreement with you, don't do it with text.
Yeah.
I want you to have a backbone. You got to have a spine in this world.
I agree with you.
Come and talk to me. You know, don't be in the next room and doing all that kind of stuff. So I get it. But again, it is a different world and we have to change them. But what do you say to the young people that are suppressed, that don't have the opportunity to go to college, that really don't have an opportunity to dream? You know, yeah. Because how do I say this? I don't ever put a cap on the ability to dream because I'm a big dreamer and I'm a big manifester. Sometimes I need to tether myself down because I go crazy. But I encourage that, you know, with people to dream the impossible dream. What do you say to the person that feels that they just don't have, you know, anything to live for? Their parents have, you know, not been able to provide for them, or there's drugs or there's alcohol. What do you say to them? How do you uplift them?
The first thing I do is I listen to their language and what they're saying to me. Mm-hmm. I don't have the opportunity. My parents didn't provide for me. I'm addicted to drugs. And then I say to them, stop saying those things.
Mm-hmm.
What we focus on in life expands. And if we focus on being a victim in this world, we're going to attract more reasons to be a victim. Now, it sounds simple, and it's not. It's very hard when you're in a bad situation as a young folk, at any age, really, to pull out of it, whether it's alcoholism or not having opportunity. But I show them people, real people in the world, that have come and risen from the situation they're in or worse.
Mm-hmm.
So it's back to my limiting belief story. Their limiting belief is, I got a raw deal.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I mean, listen to Steve Harvey.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
go to YouTube, listen to Steve Harvey, listen to his story.
I work with Steve Harvey, I know. I done heard the story about him living in the car.
Yeah, absolutely.
With his mama and all of that. Exactly. And look at Oprah.
You know? Yeah, absolutely. So there are plenty of success stories in the world that people have broken through, made quantum leaps forward in their life when they just decided, I'm done with being a victim. I'm done with bad news coming my way. I mean, that was the turnaround moment for Peggy and myself. I mean, after I quit my job, to continue my story, I started my own business. It failed. It failed hard. And some investments went south. We had a daughter that had problems and had to be admitted to a psychiatric ward. We had problems laying up. And I just slammed my fist on the table and said, this is effing over. Mm-hmm. I screamed it. And you know what? There was a shift in the energy at that moment. Mm-hmm. So you have to make a decision that you're not going to put up with this stuff. And the longer you keep saying that, I don't have the opportunity. My parents didn't provide for me. I'm addicted to drugs. I have an alcohol problem. I've been fired. The more you say all these things, the more you're programming yourself to believe that you're not good enough, that that is you. But it's not you. It's your circumstances. So forget your circumstances. Forget what's in it. Not easy. Hard to do. But you got to forget that and focus on what it is you want. Because what we focus on in life expands.
Absolutely. And I believe it. So tell my brains a little bit about Quantum Results and the work that you do, any offerings that you may have, and you know, really how do you change people's trajectory?
Yeah, that's a great question. So the first step I do is I spend time with them. Oh. I'm talking about an hour, 2 hours, and I listen.
On the golf course?
Actually, several of my clients have come from the golf course.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Now, that didn't happen in 2 or 3 hours. It might have happened over 8 or 10 rounds. But when someone reaches out to me and they say, Dan, how can you help me? I listen to find out where they are. And if you go to my website, quantumresults.com, you'll see that I have 4 primary offerings there. And they're designed to meet where people are. Mm-hmm. I mean, some people need to start very basic. Some people come to me and they've already studied the law of attraction. They're just not able to manifest. Some people come to me and they're already wealthy. They're unhappy. Some people come to me and they don't have any money and they're addicted to alcohol. So you have to kind of, I match what I provide to their situation and their needs. And so I have several programs to do that. And for people who are really in a position where they really can't do anything in terms of investing in a coach, I still have a commitment to myself. I will help them. Oh. It could be a book. It could be YouTube videos to watch. It could be to follow someone in social media that can help them, you know, start to think differently. I mean, I pointed a lot of people to Google Steve Harvey and listen to his story.
My
goal is to meet people where they are. Now, my ideal target audience, my ideal client is someone who is in the position I was in 15 years ago. Mm-hmm. I love people working with people that are in the corporate world or they're entrepreneurs, business owners, but they've reached some kind of a plateau or some kind of a frustration and they feel like they're in Groundhog's Day and they're stuck. And I help them understand what their beliefs are, what their limiting beliefs, and help them break through and replace them with empowering beliefs so that they can move forward. And I have self-study courses to do that. I have group coaching courses. I have one-on-one coaching for people. Like I said, I match it to what their needs are and how fast they want to go and kind of what their problems are.
Is Mrs. Hoover doing the same thing?
Mrs. Hoover does the same thing, and she's targeting a little different audience. She works exclusively with women, mm-hmm. and I'm not gender biased, but I have to hear about that. But she's helping women who are entrepreneurs, people who have their own business and want to take it to the next level.
Okay.
She's really good at doing that too.
I'm sure she is.
I've helped people in the corporate world get to the next job that they're seeking. I've helped people find soulmates. I've helped people overcome health problems. It is all rooted in the same thing. But I really listen to what people are suffering with today and help them get to see the root of their problem and how to replace what's holding them back with something that will empower them.
Absolutely.
I really believe
how you say you listen.
Yeah. You gotta meet people where they are.
It's a difference when you hear. It's a much different skill when you listen.
Yeah.
And as an orator, I learned that a long time ago. Shut your cotton picking mouth. Okay. A fish wouldn't get caught if he kept his mouth shut, you know? And sometimes we overthink it. Sometimes we overtalk it because we want to be the smartest person in the room.
Yeah.
And so my next book is 365 days. I have been documenting something that I learn every single day.
Cool.
Because that is what this journey is about. It's about transformation. It's about learning. It's about excelling. It's not about things. Did COVID teach us nothing?
Absolutely. That is true.
It was the perfect pause. Everybody had to was in timeout, is what I said. Everybody was in timeout. They're still thawing out from that.
Oh, yeah. And it was a good time to look in the mirror.
Absolutely.
And say, where am I? And am I happy? And where am I going?
Absolutely.
What is it that's holding me back? That's what I help people discover.
Well, you do an amazing job. And I've just enjoyed this conversation. I knew I was going to.
You're so nice for inviting me to chat with you. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely. And I want people to work with you because I want people to discover their underdiscovered talents. I want the overlooked and underserved. I want women, men, whether you're rich, poor, straight, gay, fat, ugly, it doesn't matter. We all have dreams. We all have possibilities. We are all here for a purpose. And figuring out what that purpose is and living in it. Because I'm living the dream. This podcast, let me tell you, is the business.
Good for you.
I love because I'm learning so much from people like you and other informative guests, but I'm also able to be that conduit to, you know, to funnel and channel that information into others. And that just does my heart so good.
As it should. I mean, imagine how many people you help. People you don't even know you're helping.
Don't even know. Yeah, and I get emails sometimes, or I'll get a message sometimes, and I'm literally in tears.
Oh, yeah.
I'm literally in tears. Because it's like, you know, like when I'll stand up and do spoken word poetry, and people hand claps and finger snaps, and I was feeling you, and oh, my God, I was there. I was with you. And it's like, little old me, I'm just a chick from South Central, you know. That knows how to hustle.
An amazing power, April.
Well, you are too.
My advice to you is to keep doing what you're doing.
And you keep doing what you're doing, and we're gonna make the world a better place. It's one person at a time. It's one person at a time.
Absolutely.
So tell my brains again. Well, now, have you written a book, Dan?
I have not written a book, but I have started one.
You know what? Will you do me a favor?
Yeah.
You got a big ass. Do it in audio, please.
Oh, sure. I will, for sure.
I'm a big... You got to do an audio because you got the great voice inflection. You got the compassion. I mean, I got the goosebumps. I would love to hear you as I'm, driving the golf course for some... driving a golf cart for somebody else. I can't play worth nothing, but I can pour a cocktail.
You're sweet. I will do that. You're not the first person to tell me that, but I appreciate that comment, and I will. I will do it. And
yeah, because this is information that kind of, it's great to read it, but people need to feel it. And if they don't have an opportunity to work with you directly or whatever, just to be able to hear your voice can make all the difference.
Well, you're the best. Thank you for the nice compliment. Well,
thank you. And tell Miss Peggy that I'm proud of her too.
I will.
Come on to the edge and let me know what she's doing with these women, because you know what? And I'll say it. Women, I'm not disappointed, but I'm concerned. Because we are in the age of Aquarius. It's a much gentler time now.
Yes.
But it's time for us to take back over the planet.
Yeah.
It's
something that you may not realize. I think you already have.
What? Oh, yeah.
Women are.
If you don't. Yeah. But the thing is if we have the same isms.
Yes.
And if we have the same limiting beliefs. And if we are still afraid and we're not risk takers,
yep.
Then what's the difference in a male and a female?
Right.
And sometimes it can be worse, because I tell you, some women can be a cold piece. I don't know if you got the memo, but we can do it.
You can do it. But I will also say that in my experience, we're generalizing here, women are more tapped in and tuned in to their intuition. Their internal guidance system is powerful. And I just think they're better at it than men are.
We are, but how are we going to work in duality? How are we going to take the strength of a hunter and a gatherer? How are we going to be able to go in and make these power deals? How are we going to work with other countries? How are we going to raise our children? And also, have time for herself and self-care, still be a good spouse, still be a good lover. Because men, you know, and I'm generalizing, men are just, you know, I got to do this for the family. And the wife will, you know, she's going to be the safety net. She's going to take care of the rest. You know,
absolutely.
And we have to get out of that roles that, you know, a woman does this or a man does that. We've got to get out of that.
I agree with you. I agree with you. It's out of balance and it needs to be put in balance. And, you know, you need to stand up for yourself and take action.
That's
like
right.
You're doing.
Yeah, you got to feel the fear and do it anyway.
Feel the fear and do it anyway. And never become the victim of that.
Right.
Always say what it is you really want and empower yourself. Because what we say, what we focus on is what grows. It expands in our lives.
It's that NLP. You know, I tell people, I had a conversation with myself the other night in the middle of the night. It was so powerful, I had to get up and write it down. And it, you know what? But it taught me and it prepared me for a situation that I was about to be confronted with.
Yes.
And it was like, I'll tell you, it was real quick.
Yeah.
Weird. Tell me. I'm in front of an audience and I'm about to do this great presentation. I had prepared for it. I'm dressed like brand new money. And when I go on the stage, they say, no, thank you. Your presentation has been canceled. We don't need you. It's like 6,000 or 7,000 people in the audience. And you know what I did? I stepped back. I was gracious. I didn't let my ego rise up. Do you know who I am? Do you know who I prepare for? Do you know? I didn't do any of that. I was gracious. And I said, oh, well, this is so unfortunate. You know, I'm sorry. And, you know, I take responsibility. And Dan, this was like in a dream, but I was kind of awake and I was having this conversation with myself about just step back and just be calm and just relax. It'll work itself out. No later, 3 or 4 days, a situation arose. And you know what I did? I was calm. Okay, thank you. Because you know what? If it is your blessing and it is for you, you can't miss it. But when you try to push or force something that is not natural, you end up in a bad situation. And I was so glad that I was able to do that. And so now this is something that I have in my toolbox that I will always think about.
Yes.
Before I fly off the handle or before I let this ego or who I think I am, because I'm nothing no more than anybody else.
Right.
Just an opportunity has presented itself.
What a beautiful lesson to learn.
It was amazing. It was amazing. You know, and that's going to be in the book.
Because you were open to it.
Right.
You were being guided.
Mm. Mm.
That's the big message that I would like you to take from that is be open to being guided by a higher power.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Because that's what you were. And here's the good thing. You listened to it.
I listened.
You learned the lesson. You know how many people are guided and they never hear or learn the lesson?
That's what I said. You know, all these people, again, like after COVID, they're going right back to the way that they think it will never be the way it was December 31st of 2019 ever again. And if they haven't learned anything, I don't care about, you know, we were in a political upheaval. Just everybody was angry. You know, it was just, there was a run on toilet paper.
Oh, crazy things happened. You're right.
It was crazy. But you know what? But for the people that get it, like you and I, we said, you know what? Let me take the best out of this. Let me extract the best out of this and work with it.
Yeah.
And again, we're the much better for it. And so we're going to help other people.
Absolutely. And I think there's a shift going on in the collective consciousness. I'm going to a conference next week with Dr. Bruce Lipton. I don't know if you ever heard of Bruce.
I've heard of him. Mm-hmm.
And the topic is our collective consciousness as a nation.
Okay.
And I think it's things like COVID that are wake-up calls for us. Mm-hmm. It's like the dream you had in the middle of the night, only it took a year long. And the idea is for people to learn the lesson. Mm-hmm. Many people are. So let's focus on that.
That's right. So, Brains, I need you to do what you always do. I need you to subscribe. I need you to like. I need you to share this information because this has just been one of the best conversations. And Dan is the man. Now, if you can catch him... Because, again, I love your pictures, but I love that you're living life. But he's there for you. You know, he's there for you, and he wants you to live a charmed, relaxed life. He doesn't want you to be stressed. You know, and money is not going to make a difference. Money is a motivator. You know, the big house, you can't put none of that in the hearse.
No.
You want to leave a legacy. You want people to say, you know what? April and Dan did this for humanity. I remember this conversation. I remember this podcast. This is what's going to make a difference. And you millennials, figure out what you want and speak to it and act on it.
Absolutely.
You're our future.
Absolutely.
So thank you so much for being here. You are the absolute best.
Thank you for the opportunity. I really appreciate it, April. You have a wonderful rest of your day.
You too. Now, wait. Now, tell me, did I get your email? Because I'm going to put all of the information at the back of the interview as well as the bottom. What's your, what is the
website? Anybody can reach out to me by just sending an email to Dan, D-A-N, at quantumresults.com.
See how simple that is?
Simple. Now, if you go to quantumresults.com website, there's also an option on there to select to meet with me and schedule a call. So there's two ways you can get a hold of me very easily. But I'd love to get an email, Dan at quantumresults.com.
And we want comments. We want feedback. If you think this if you think this is malarkey, let us prove you wrong.
Absolutely. Or I'm always open to learning new lessons, too. So, you know. I welcome any and all comments.
All right. All right, brains. Deuces.
Thank you, Ray. Thank you.